Welcome. I'm Leslie Canham.
I'm Mary Gavoni.
I'm Linda Harvey.
I'm Olivia Wan, and together we are the Compliance Divas.
Welcome to the Compliance Divas podcast. My name is Leslie Canham, and I'll be your moderator for this podcast, a special hot topic podcast on measles. On March 21st of this year, CDC reported that there were 64 cases of measles in 17 states. This is an awful small number when you think about the number of cases of infectious disease outbreaks, but it's a significant number because measles had once been thought to have been eradicated from the United States in 2000. We're seeing outbreaks, and this is concerning to us. So the Compliance Divas wanted to bring you this special timely topic to help bring information to dental professionals on what is happening out there and how the measles can affect a typical dental practice. At the Compliance Divas, we bring clarity and simplicity to compliance by navigating regulatory compliance to keep you on course. Please subscribe to the Compliance Divas podcast at your favorite podcast channel or on our website, thecompliancedivas.com. And please submit questions to support@thecompliancedivas.com. We're going to start out with our diva, Mary, to give us a little background on what is measles and what are the symptoms. Mary?
Thanks, Leslie. Measles is a viral infection, also called rubeola, and it is something that has been viewed in the past as a childhood disease, but what we now know is that adults also get measles, and there's some concerns. So first and foremost, measles exposures will take place. Maybe it is in a school, maybe it's at the dental office, wherever somebody who's infectious is presenting themselves, and symptoms will appear anywhere from 7 to 14 days after contact with the virus. Now, the virus itself can stay airborne, according to studies, for up to 2 hours after somebody who's infected has been coughing or sneezing or singing or talking and expelling droplets into the air. So within 3 to 5 days, the sign of measles that is probably most recognizable, the red rash on the body, will appear. But within the first couple of days of a measles infection, when a patient may have a high fever, they may have a cough, a runny nose, maybe some conjunctivitis, watery eyes, they are infectious without the rash. So we might not necessarily think measles infection, but those patients are already infectious to other people. Measles can have a lot of complications, especially in adults, but also in young children, pneumonia, encephalitis, hearing loss, any number of things. And measles can also be fatal if the pneumonia overwhelms a patient and they can actually die from pneumonia related to a measles infection. It's interesting to remember that if you see patients in your practice that have little white spots along the buccal mucosa that may be coplex spots, which may be one of the first signs of a measles infection. And if you see that on a patient, that patient is already infectious to you if they're in your chair.
Mary, that's great information for us to have. And now I'd like to talk to our diva, Linda. And the question I have is, why is the decline in vaccination rates today so alarming? And based on what Mary told us, is kind of the result of having the measles and how it could affect health and hospitalization and even death rate. Tell us a little bit more about vaccination rates.
Sure, Leslie. Interestingly, here in the United States, the Public Health Department announced back in the year 2000 that measles had been eliminated in this country due to the number of individuals in our country that had been vaccinated against measles. So 24 years later, we're looking at sort of the reverse, if you will. And I know the number that you mentioned of cases in that outbreak, as you said, wasn't significantly high, but the number has significance because of measles and the effect and the contagiousness and the, you know, all the different pieces that go with that is why it's so critical. So the rate of vaccinations have declined because more people have chosen not to be vaccinated. So as a result, we're seeing documented results of increased cases. And it's interesting also because the decline in measles vaccination is actually happening globally, including here at the United States. And then measles cases that continue to be brought into the United States by travelers coming who are infected from other countries. So that sparks our domestic outbreaks as well, as along with the decline of vaccinations in our country, Leslie. So something just to, like you said, as a watch, this is why we're making it a special alert for our members and our listeners, because we want them to stay on the cutting edge. And based on Mary's observation, when you see spots and intraoral, you know, signs and symptoms, the patient's contagious. And if you're not paying attention in your oral screening exam, you may miss it or not recognize it as a sign of measles. And there we go with our aerosol generating procedures, aerosolizing all those little droplets in our environment. So this is something that we need to be on the lookout for, Leslie. So thanks for bringing this topic up.
Mary, you had a comment.
Yes, you had mentioned, Leslie, in your opening that there have been 64 measles cases reported in 17 states. This is the, I think, most widespread area in the country in the last several years where we've had that many states with cases, and it's changing almost daily. And so that's a huge concern because more people are traveling. This is spring break time for a lot of people. So we may see even more cases after spring break is over. So in terms of vaccinations, it is important for our dental healthcare workers to make sure that they know what their immunization status is, because they may need a booster vaccine.
In addition, if any of the dental healthcare team members are pregnant, exposure to measles can have devastating effects in a pregnancy, including miscarriage and birth defects in the unborn baby. So very, very important for dental healthcare workers to be immunized and to know what their immune status is.
You know, that's so important that you mentioned healthcare workers, Mary. And in dentistry, when we think, well, gee, measles has been eliminated or eradicated, but the fact of the matter is that the measles vaccination, the two-dose version, is about 97% effective against measles. So this means that if we do come in contact with a patient who has the measles and happens to be in the infectious state where we're seeing those coplic spots that you mentioned, we have better protection. And measles is extremely contagious, and it's so contagious that if one person has it, 90% of the people close to that person who are not immune will be infected. So it's interesting also, as an aerosol transmissible disease, it can be left in the room by someone who was breathing for up to 2 hours at a time. So even after that person has, let's say, left the reception room, that means that other people that come in who are not immune are very likely to come down with a case of the measles. And this leads me on over to talk with Olivia about what the Centers for Disease Control has recently announced through their alert network. Olivia?
Leslie, they are recommending that those who live in the United States that are older than 6 months without evidence of immunity who are planning to travel internationally should receive the MMR vaccine before they leave, before they go on a trip. And then infants that are age 6 months to 11 months should receive one dose of the MMR vaccine before they go. Infants who receive a dose of the MMR vaccine before their first birthday should receive two more doses of the MMR vaccine, the first of which should be administered when the child is age 12 through 15 months, and then the second at least 28 days later. And then children aged 12 months or older should receive two doses of the MMR vaccine. And that would be separated by at least 28 days. And then teenagers and adults without evidence of measles immunity should receive two doses of MMR vaccine separated by at least 28 days. And they also bring up that at least one of the following is considered evidence of measles immunity for purposes of international travelers, and that is birth before 1957. So if you were born before that year, documented administration of two doses of live measles virus vaccine, or laboratory proof of immunity or confirmation of disease. And as Mary already pointed out, this is really important, especially for those that are practicing in dental practices where, you know, people are traveling and they're coming and going and speaking to people recently. It's not unusual for people to vacation with families and their children in other countries. This is almost the norm now that they go to faraway regions. And if they're not adequately immunized, they may be bringing something back home, unfortunately, such as measles, and then coming into the dental offices presenting with this virus. And if the team members are not adequately immunized, this could be a source of infection. So I think this is wise, Leslie, that we're bringing this up to our audiences and making sure that we're protecting ourselves.
Thank you, Olivia. And the Centers for Disease Control Health Alert Network is actually the highest level of importance about a public health incident. When we hear an HAN report or alert, that means we should really pay attention, especially as healthcare providers. The next level down is called health advisory, which provides important information about a public health incident, and then health update, which provides updated information about a public health incident. So we certainly do want to make sure that we pay close attention to what's happening. And while we might think that 67 cases is not a large number of cases, I want to just give you a little history of what we have seen in the United States for a disease which we thought we had eradicated. The measles cases in 2023, there was a total of 58 cases. In 2022, 121 cases. In 2021, 49 cases. And in 2020, there were 13 cases. Now, I want to just drop back to 2014 because this is my favorite, example of how quickly measles can spread due to one exposure. And we fondly call it the Disneyland outbreak, where Disneyland, California, Southern California area, they had an uncharacteristically high number of measles cases. And it was linked to the theme park because multiple people who visited the park who had not been adequately immunized went back to their own states. And I believe that was close to 17 states as well. And it was determined that the strain was a strain that was circulating outside of our country. So it is suspected that somebody came to Disney Park, probably wanted to enjoy the park. And as you can imagine, with great anticipation of traveling to such a fun place, maybe woke up, didn't feel that good. I mean, the symptoms that Mary explained, you know, runny nose, coughing, high fever, watery eyes. But, you know, I don't think that would keep me out of Disneyland either. And I can just imagine this person standing in those long lines and passing by hundreds, if not thousands of people and with an aerosol transmissible disease. It turns out there were five what they call characters, the employees at Disney Park who were also infected. And then there were others, I believe it was 147 people in total, but people went back to their own states and then spread the virus to anyone who was not vaccinated. And we do have certain communities of individuals who do not vaccinate. So in the Disney case, there was I believe it was an Amish community that was not able to defend themselves from the measles because somebody visited the park, brought it back to their community. So What we should look for as dental professionals, as Mary mentioned, those white spots on the buccal mucosa, if someone is experiencing some of those other symptoms, it's a long incubation period. It's usually 7 to 14 days after a measles infection actually kicks in before the first symptoms show up. And so it's very serious. It can be deadly, especially for babies. And we should be well aware of what we should be looking for with our patients and continue to screen patients for aerosol transmissible diseases. Let's not let our guard down just because our COVID pandemic is in the rearview mirror. And I'd like to wrap up our program by saying we're going to put lots of resources into our show notes so that you can maybe print out some of this information and share it with your dental practices. Let's be aware and vigilant. So when patients ask us about if we've heard about measles circulating again, we can say yes, and you're safe in our care because we know what to look for. And we want to make sure that we're safe in practicing dentistry and our patients are safe in our chair. At the Compliance Divas, we bring clarity and simplicity to compliance by navigating regulatory compliance and late-breaking hot topics to keep you on course. Please submit your questions to support@thecompliancedivas.com. And please, if you can, in the show notes, take down some of those resources. And on your favorite podcast channel, if you could leave us a quick review, we'd love to hear from you, see how well we are doing in providing you with information. That's it for today's podcast.